97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
Aaron's in a bit of a mood today. It's kind of... We were joking before we came on air. We may just let her have the microphone and just go. She's a little testy. When they started the music, it blasted her eardrums out.
I don't know what has gotten into me. I think it's just, you know, just being around the holidays. I am never in a bad mood. I'm just a little testy today. I don't know what it is.
It stands out. It stands out. So this might be a very good subject to be talking about today, with her being a little testy, because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there around this topic, and lack of information, not even just misinformation, but just lack of information. Today we're going to talk about how to feed your gut. We're going to talk a little bit about the microbiome and, like, what it is and what it does and foods that are good for you.
Right. And we get so many questions about this. You know, just from patients, but then also people, you know, contacting us over Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, tons of social media questions.
Yeah. I mean, 5 or 10 years ago, nobody knew they had a microbiome, right? And today we're basically obsessed with it.
Right.
And
well, some of us knew it was there.
Right. But I mean, it wasn't common knowledge. And I think that as, you know, the general public is learning more and more about the fact that, you know, we have a microbiome and how important it is.
These gut bacteria are really, really important.
They really are. And so it's becoming more and more of a topic on people's brains. Like, okay, what do I do to actually keep my microbiome in balance?
Right. Because, you know, a lot of people out there understand things that destroy their microbiome. And we'll talk a little bit about those things too. Things like, you know, antibiotic use just destroys all kinds of bacteria in your gut and completely disrupts your microbiome. But, you know, I don't think that people realize the magnitude of which that can have, you know, damaging effects.
Right.
Like, it doesn't take very much to do this. And we ask this question a lot, you know, of our patients whenever we sit down and have a conversation with them. You know, we ask them a history of antibiotic use, and 9 times out of 10, the answer we get is, well, not very many. And we always want clarification. Well, what does not very many mean to you? And we get maybe once or twice a year. And that's when we have to say, well, that's fine. And that may not seem like a lot of antibiotic use, but in the grand scheme of things, over the course of your life, one round of antibiotics disrupts your gut flora for a few years. 2 rounds of antibiotics disrupts your gut flora enough that you need help for your entire life.
Right. So you started off saying, okay, that's fine. And really, bottom line is, it's not fine.
It's
right?
Not
it's
fine.
It's not fine.
It's not fine. It's just getting people to understand that it's had a major impact. And more people nowadays, we're seeing more and more people, and maybe it's just the population that we see, because they tend to be either sicker or healthier. We don't see the middle of the road as much as we see the really sick and the
right,
really
and we
healthy.
We talked about that before. We either see people who, you know, have been to a number of doctors and can't find an answer, or really having problems functioning during their, you know, in their daily life. Or we have people who are extremely health conscious and are like, I want to know how to stay this way.
Right.
I want to know, how can I prevent, in, you know, bad things from happening to me, which is, you know, another one of our, you know, expertise.
Right. And so these people that are on the sicker end, we're seeing, like I was saying, we're seeing more and more of these people that have been on rounds of IV antibiotics. Well, if you think that oral antibiotics, taking a 10-day course of antibiotics, is hard on your gut, just imagine what delivering it straight to your blood does. Holy cow. It's just devastating to an immune system. Now, is that necessary in some cases? Absolutely. Completely agree. If you've got a nasty infection, the only way to knock it out is some IV antibiotics, then by all means, that's what we have to do. And I completely understand that. And I'm not faulting people for having that happen. What's troubling is, there is nothing to do after it. Modern medicine, conventional medicine, doesn't have anything to offer after they wipe everything out. They don't know how to look at your gut bacteria. They don't know how to look at your microbiome. They don't know how to test this stuff. It's it's not that difficult, but they don't have any training in that. They don't know that all of these species of bacteria make a difference and they all play a different role. And if you don't have an entire species of bacteria, which we see many, many times, that completely disrupts things and the bad bacteria can get out of balance, creating further digestive problems, creating further chronic illness.
Right. And I just want to take a step back because I'm not sure that we really fully went over this.
We got off on tangents.
When we talk about the microbiome, we're talking about the community of microbes living in and on our bodies. It's 100 trillion single cell organisms, which outnumbers human cells 10 to 1.
Right. So there's 10 times more not you than you that make up you.
Right.
How's that word? Did
right.
you, did
Very
you follow?
Clear way of, it's of saying that.
Clear as mud. That's
but
right.
I mean,
and the microbiome, I want to back up for just a second there. It isn't just what's in our gut. It is exactly what, it's also what's on our skin.
Yes.
We have bacteria that are on our skin that protect us and help us as well.
Right. And so making sure our microbiome is in balance has become a top priority with a lot of people. And it's for good reason. I mean, our gut bacteria regulate many of the body functions, from creating vitamins, controlling immune system or brain function. And of course, what many of you have heard of is metabolism and weight.
Right. So
it's critical to our long-term health.
Right. And so what a lot of people don't realize, if you're out there, if you're one of the two-thirds of the population, and so that's the majority of you listening, that are overweight, you could be overweight because your gut microbiome is completely out of balance.
Right. And that, I mean, we see all the time people come in and they're trying to do the right things and they're not losing weight and they can't figure it out. This could be a reason why.
And it's not that difficult to turn around. The issue with it is finding out what exactly is wrong.
Right. Right. And I mean, you say it's not that difficult to turn around. It's not that difficult for us to turn around. It's difficult for us to tell you over the air what you need to do to turn it around because it's very different for each person.
Right.
And I think that's why so many people struggle for way too long trying, you know, constantly trying new things to try to figure this out. And, you know, until we get to the root of the problem, which is what we talk about all the time, you're not going to see much headway.
Right. Yeah. And you know, we're going to talk about some foods that can be beneficial, but I will preface it now, and I'm going to preface it later. It doesn't matter what we say food-wise that you should eat. You've got to be tested to figure out if you should be eating it. Because if your gut microbiome is out of balance, that means your immune system is on edge. It's working overtime, so you're likely inflamed, which is going to cause you to absorb things improperly or not at all, which is going to lead to further inflammation, which is going to lead to further chronic disease. And unless you know that the food that you're eating isn't making your immune system even more mad, then you're just guessing. You have no clue. You're just like, well, maybe this is good for me. Maybe it's not.
Right.
Because just like we've said before, just because a food is a health food doesn't mean it's healthy for you. You need to be tested to figure out, should you be eating that piece of chicken or that broccoli or those carrots or sweet potatoes, right? And when people get their results and they change and eat the foods that they're supposed to eat, it's amazing what can happen.
Yeah.
But you've got to make that change.
It needs to be like the baseline of what you do to get healthy. I mean, we've talked about that so many times on the show before, but it's like trying to play the game of life without knowing the rules. And there's no way you can win. You can make some headway, you know, you can gain some, but, you know, you'll end up taking a few steps back. It'll go. I mean, you don't know what the rules are.
Right.
And how can you possibly win at that? And then you're constantly hearing, well, this person ate this and that was good. And, you know, somebody else saying, well, this is what you need to, you know, feed your gut, like we're going to talk about today. But if you don't know that that's a food that is good for you, you as a unique person, if you don't know that it's good for you, then you possibly are going to do more damage than
right.
good.
You're throwing darts in the dark.
Yeah.
You have no real idea of whether or not it's going to help you. I mean, the things that we do in today's lives, you know, the modern lifestyle and lifestyle choices that we make really, really, really have an impact on our gut and our microbiome as a whole. I mean, our diet that we consume today is basically devoid of all of the things that a gut needs to survive and to thrive, right? If we're eating lots of packaged foods that are highly processed and, you know, things that are pasteurized and homogenized, we're just missing all of the enzymes. We're missing all of the vitamins and minerals that are in that stuff. I mean, yeah, there might be some vitamins and minerals in there, but a lot of times it's fortified. That means that the vitamins and minerals weren't there and they had to put them in there. And when they put those things in there, when companies put those vitamins in there, they're putting in bad forms.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not putting in the expensive forms of the vitamin that actually work.
Right. They're putting what they can put in so that they can list it on the label.
That's exactly right. So it's a little frustrating, but that's the game that we have to play, and that's what we're up against. So we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to just continue talking about our gut, our microbiome, and things that you can do to improve your microbiome. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ, and Erin is here with me, and she's, like I said at the beginning of the last segment, she's a little on edge. So
I'm not on edge.
She's still on edge. Don't let her fool you. She's in denial right now. You just heard her say, I'm not on edge. She is. So we've been talking today about feeding your gut and things that you can do to help your body's microbiome. And we talked about the microbiome is not just inside the gut. It's also on your skin. It's all encompassing you. And there's 10 times more bacteria in and on you than what makes up you.
Right. And we focus a lot on what's actually in your gut because that's where we can see the most damage done or the damage being done the quickest.
Right.
It's certainly not to say that the microbes that are on your skin are not important because
right.
they are. And we've talked a lot about that, about the environmental toxins and things, you know, in beauty products and what we're putting on our skin and how that affects, you know, the microbes that are actually living on us. But when we talk about the microbiome in the gut, that's where it's super important.
I mean,
you know, all disease begins in the gut. I really feel like we can kind of focus back in on any, if you're looking at any disease, almost always you can find some sort of gut issue.
Right.
And so that's why the microbiome is so important.
Right. So,
and then that's why it's so annoying that it isn't addressed.
Right. And it's really never going to be addressed because
by modern medicine.
Yeah, modern medicine, conventional medicine is not going to address it at all because they pay zero attention to the fact that, you know, what you eat matters.
Because that there's no money in that.
No.
I mean, and it's really sad to say, but really that's what it comes down to. I mean, if modern, you know, if conventional medicine was focused on getting people healthy, you know, what we do is what gets people healthy.
If they were focused on getting people healthy, we'd have a whole lot less sick people.
Right.
Right? Call me crazy. But we'd have a whole lot less sick people. I mean, we have way too many people that are just sick.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and you can see them. Like, I watch the news. I don't like to, but I watch the news once in a while. And to see them, like, even your local news, just watch them interview someone for a local story. And look at how pale the person is, how sunken in their eyeballs look, whether or not they're overweight. I mean, you can tell just by looking at someone that they don't look healthy.
Well, and you say that. I do think that you have a different perspective than a lot of us because you point out things a lot of times and I'm like, oh, I see it now. But I think it's become so normal that, you know,
I thought you were actually going to make fun of me being pale.
I'm very, very pale.
If you
so
haven't seen a picture of me, we Erin and I are both basically transparent.
Our poor child will never have a tan.
Yeah. Lincoln is, he's doomed.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, and we don't see it. I mean, you know, I think TJ in the office sees it more often. I mean, in my everyday life, I am surrounded by people who, for the most part, are healthy.
True.
But you do, you know, like going out shopping, holiday shopping. You see people, and there's so many people that we've talked about this before, like, what's the right thing to do? Do you stop someone and say, you have heart disease? Do you know you have heart disease?
Yeah, you can see
it. We don't do it, but we really want to.
I really want to know
that you have a raging thyroid problem? Because those are things that you can tell. And
Or a crazy hormone imbalance. Oh my gosh.
And Yeah, when it's evident physically, you know, by outward appearance that clear, we are really torn and we're like,
I really want to go up to them and hand my card.
You know, but then we're like, is that offensive? So,
yeah. Let us know. Give us your feedback on that.
We'd love to know. Like, should we leave people alone? Because that's what we're doing. But it just kills us.
Should I just hand them a card and say, hey, you might benefit from this. This is what we can see from the outside just looking at you.
Right. And we're not talking about like weight issues. I mean,
no
one who is overweight doesn't know that they're overweight. I mean, they don't need us to point it out. We're talking about like internal issues, like thyroid, heart disease.
Visible. There are things that you can see that tell you that someone has thyroid disease, someone has heart disease, or someone has crazy hormonal imbalances.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to be able to tell if their estradiol is just slightly higher than it should. I can't tell that.
Right. But when it gets to a point, you can tell.
Absolutely. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So... anyway, we were saying before the break, last break, which was, you know, I don't know, forever ago, we were talking about, you know, the modern living lifestyle choices that we make as a whole, you know, really is difficult on the bacteria, the whole microbiome. I talked about our diet. It's just, it doesn't have stuff in it. We're eating processed foods. Even when you go out to a restaurant, unless you're eating at a restaurant that you know serves locally sourced organic foods, it's likely processed stuff. Maybe the meat isn't, but I can almost guarantee you that unless you know where the meat is sourced in that restaurant, it's probably CAFO meat, meaning it's you know, animal farm meat. So it's going to be, you know, full of antibiotics, full of growth hormones. It's just going to be really high in omega-6 acids, fatty acids. It's going to be not very good for you. It's going to be very inflammatory. And so even those things are important to know, not to mention the chemicals that we use in processed food. I mean, look up a package of just chips, potato chips. Potato chips used to be potatoes, some sort of oil, and salt. And now we have preservatives out the wazoo, 50 different ingredients.
Yeah, and you can still find them that way.
Yeah, you can.
I mean,
But most of them are not that way. I mean, the ingredient list is just ridiculously long. And then, you know, ladies, and I guess some guys out there that wear makeup. I mean, makeup is completely full of lead. And not all, but there is a lot of lead in the makeup industry. And the FDA doesn't even say that there's a level that needs to be, you know, that you need to be below for these toxic chemicals in that stuff. It just says, well, you just need to keep an eye on it and keep it as low as you possibly can. That's basically their official stance.
Right. Well, and, you know, the same thing with makeup and beauty products is what we talk about with supplements as well. And I know... you know, we've talked about that on the show before. There isn't a whole lot of regulation. I mean, we're kind of just shocked at the amount that companies can get away with.
Right.
And people don't know. And so companies are able to make all of these crazy claims and nobody's really policing it.
We had a patient who was really high in toxic metal. Actually, it was lead. Really high when we tested. And so we just started asking, you know, where are you getting things? I mean, it was high enough that they were currently being exposed. This is an exposure as a child and it just stuck around in their system.
Yeah, because we can tell that.
You can tell the difference. The testing allows you to tell the difference. And it came out that eventually what we heard was that they had been taking some herbs. And so we're like, you know what? Why don't you bring those herbs in and we will send them off to the lab and have them tested. Sky high in lead.
Yes. And these are
over-the-counter supplements that they had purchased thinking that it was going to help them.
And
it was extremely detrimental.
First of all, not cheap supplements.
No.
Second of all, these were not people who were uneducated and they were not people who did not, I mean, they had plenty of money to spend on high, you know, what they thought were high quality supplements. And then to find out that they, I mean, I think.
And very well educated in the natural health realm.
But that's what's so hard. I mean, we have people all the time that ask us about you know, how is this brand of supplements, or, you know, what do you think? Like, look at the label and how, and it's like the label doesn't tell us that much unless we know how it's processed and we know exactly what their, you know, what their facility is like and what their ingredients are. It's hard for us to give an honest opinion because it's just no one's policing it.
Right.
And that's difficult. And that's why, you know, we are really picky with what supplements we use.
Right. So, you know, not only that, you know, we eat massive amounts as a country of sugar and you know, flour, starches in our diet. I mean, we're consuming 150 pounds of sugar per person per year and 150 pounds of flour per person per year.
And it starts really, really young. And I know we've mentioned that on this show before, but that's what's sad is we, you know, I know a lot of parents are really adamant that their children do not have too much sugar. There are also a lot of parents that don't care at all. They're just like, you know, as long as the kid's getting some food in. But even those that are conscious about sugar are a lot of times we see feeding tons of carbohydrates, tons of flour, tons of, you know, Goldfish crackers and, you know, all sorts of things that then the child gets a taste for that. And it's really hard to get them to eat clean later.
Right.
I mean, and so it just we're setting them up. And then by the time they get to like even their teenage years, they're
overweight.
Yeah, they're having all sorts of issues.
And yeah, they're overweight and they're addicted to just terrible food. I mean, that's the reality of what we're looking at.
Because
I mean,
you don't see the ramifications early on.
No.
You don't see them for a few years. And so, you know.
But we could run blood work on them at 10 or 12 and already see diabetes, heart disease.
Yep.
You can see this stuff internally. They just can't see it
and
externally.
And we do. You guys, we young children we've had brought in and we're like, well, let's test them. And we have found, you know, sky high candida and like all of these things where we're like, they're, you know, really high triglycerides. I mean, at very young ages. And so it's no wonder that adults are having problems when, you know, we're starting to eat an improper diet at a very young age.
Yeah.
A lot of times as soon as they're starting solid foods.
And what's crazy is, you know, even, I mean, we're seeing this because we have a little guy. Even the stuff that you go to the store and you look at it and it may say that it's, you know, what are they?
Oh, I get really frustrated. Oh, you mean like the vegetable wafers?
Yeah, vegetable wafers.
And
then
like
you
that.
Look at it.
It's
and
all rice.
It's rice. It's rice, 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 rice. And then finally, it may be some vegetable flavoring for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
This stuff is...
It'll say like sweet potato wafers. And I'm like, it has like some sweet potato in it, but it's rice. I mean...
There's enough sweet potato in it to make it orange. That's about it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally what we're... And we get frustrated because, you know, this is just telling me that the general population has absolutely no idea what they're doing to their kid. If they knew, they wouldn't do it.
Right. Oh, exactly. I don't think for a second that most parents would... I mean, they're feeding their kids what they believe to be healthy.
Right.
And, you know, it's just a lot of misinformation.
If you're just tuning in, today we're talking about how to feed your gut. We've really been ranting more than anything. It's kind of felt good, actually, to just kind of go off a little bit on frustrations with, you know, food, what people have been taught.
Right.
And
it's the frustrations that we hear from people all the time. It's the frustrations over the fact that people don't know what they need to do to keep their microbiome healthy.
Right. That's right. So, you know, we'll talk a little more about microbiome health and stuff like that. I mean, I heard a great explanation of the gut microbiome, and it was just simply this. Think of your gut microbiome as a garden, and if you don't take care of that garden, weeds will grow. And once weeds take over, the garden is ruined. And that's basically what happens if we're not doing the things that we need to do and eating the right foods and exercising and doing all the things that we're supposed to do to our gut bacteria. And when that gut bacteria gets completely out of balance like that, you're just setting yourself up for chronic disease.
Right.
It just happens that way. So there are tons of different species of microbes in and on us. There's like 500 to 1,000. There's a bunch. Some of them are very helpful. Some of them are harmful.
Right. Which is why we talk about keeping it in balance, because it's certainly, you know, I mean, we need a lot of those microbes.
Right. That's exactly right. And so there are microbes that are supposed to be there that, as long as they're in small amounts, they're not doing any damage. They are beneficial to us, you know, in their small amounts. But if we are missing a species that keeps those guys in check, then the bad guys take over and become problematic for us.
Right. So we see people all the time. I mean, when somebody can come in with, you know, two people with, you know, pretty much the same symptoms, and one may have not enough of, you know, a certain good bacteria in their system. Another one may have way too much of a bad bacteria in their system. That's why the testing is so important. And that's why when you get to a certain point, this is really difficult to do on your own, because they cause very similar symptoms, and it's hard to know exactly what needs to happen in order to get you back in balance.
Yeah, and it causes very similar symptoms because there are an infinite number of things that can happen to the human body, but there are only a few ways for our body to respond. So the key is knowing where the damage is coming from, so then we can fix that, because the responses are often very similar.
Right, and well, we talked about that on various shows before, how, you know, so many different symptoms can lead back to one disease, and so many, and one symptom can be a whole bunch of different diseases.
Right.
It goes both ways. And I'm not sure. I mean, hopefully that makes sense to people. That's why the testing is crucial, because it's really hard to say, you know, oh, well, you have a headache, this is what it is. And we get questions like that from people all the time. And we really do encourage people to reach out to us on social media and by email, and so many of you do. And I would love it if we were able to say, oh, this is what you have going on. And every once in a while, we'll get a question where we're like, oh, this is probably what it is. You know, we recommend getting tested, but you might also want to eliminate this or want to, you know.
Right.
But most of the time, it's something where it's so, you know, general that, you know, it could be so many different things. We're like, we really can't give you, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but our best advice is come in and let's talk about it, because we just can't pinpoint it,
and
through an email.
I think that mentality stems from, that's the way people have always been dealt their hand when it comes to going to the doctor. They go to the doctor with a problem. The doctor looks at them and says, this is your problem. Here's your pill. And they seem to know unequivocally, and they never waver, and they don't take into consideration that it could be a whole host of other things that are there. It's almost impossible to figure that out. I mean, people come in
without testing.
Without testing. And even with testing. So, like, I use mono as an example. There are a couple of different viruses that can cause mono. There's only one that people actually have ever really heard of. But when they test you to find out if you have mono, if you do have the sickness, they just test you to see if you have mono. They don't test you to figure out which virus actually caused it.
Because they don't care, because they're going to treat it the same.
Right. Exactly. And they're going to miss the mark, and then you're going to be left with all this residual stuff because we didn't actually help the immune system fight the bug.
Right. And it's the same thing. And we talk about this with thyroid a lot. You know, they check a couple of things and they're like, you know, that's all we need to check, because if they're off, we're giving you this medication. Doesn't matter why they're off, because we're going to give you this medication. It's, you know, we see this with so many things. And that's why I think that's one of the reasons why we're so good at what we do. I mean, that's why, you know, so many people continue to come to us. So many of our patients refer people to us, and doctors refer people to us. But it's also, I mean, why I think it probably is frustrating to some people. And I don't know that. People are always very kind when we respond to them. But, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I wonder if it's frustrating to people when we respond and say, I'm sorry, we don't have enough information. We really recommend that you come in and see us where we can figure this out. I think people want to have a healthcare provider that looks at them as a unique individual. But I also get the human need to have an answer.
Right.
You know, you just, okay, I have this, like, tell me what it is. And we would love nothing more than to be able to do that. But we can't give you an accurate answer without fully testing most of the time.
Right. So back to our bacteria in our body and on our body, you know, we've got to keep this stuff in balance. So what we really want to do is encourage our good microbes in and on our body, by feeding them, right? We feed them the things that they need. We, you know, we give them the food that they need. We play in the dirt for the things that are on our skin. It's good for us to have this exposure to allow these bacteria to all work in synergy, right? So, you know, the good bacteria, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know that the good bacteria want healthy, whole, organic foods. That's what it wants, right? We want
that's high, what it knows how to deal with.
Right. We want our body wants high, and the microbes want high fiber, high nutrient content without artificial ingredients.
Doesn't know how to deal. They weren't made to deal with artificial ingredients.
Right. And so, you know, people ask, fiber gets a lot of traction, and people ask, well, you know, how do I increase my fiber? I mean, there are a ton of foods that help with fiber. But again, I'm going to preface this. Just because we recommend a food here that has high in fiber doesn't mean that the food's actually good for you, right? It can actually be problematic. But apples, artichokes, broccoli, cabbage, celery, garlic, figs, they're all high in fiber, right? I mean, we can get into, you know, lentils and kale and pumpkin and spinach. All this stuff is high in fiber, right?
Avocado, there are a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Coconut and foods made from coconut.
Right. And then there are things that our gut bacteria, you know, really like. Fermented foods really can have a beneficial effect on our gut bacteria. But I'll tell you, there are people who, if they eat fermented foods, they get really bloated and get really, you know, sick and they don't feel well. But types of fermented foods that we're talking about, things like sauerkraut, you know, some people pickle vegetables, right? Kimchi, miso, tamari, tempeh, tofu, all of these things are very good fermented cultured foods, right? That can really feed our gut bacteria and our microbiome.
Right, unpasteurized apple cider vinegar, which I know a lot of people have heard of apple cider vinegar being good, and this is one of the reasons why, because it's fermented.
But if you have an issue with vinegar, or if you have a yeast overgrowth, this SIBO may be a big problem, right? If you consume this stuff, right? If you've got SIBO going on, this can just set this stuff off like nobody's business. So if you're one of these people that you try these fermented foods and they create more of a problem, you need to get that checked out, because you've got something going on. It shouldn't do that to you.
Right.
Right. These are, you know, things to just keep in mind. It's really important to do. But, you know, we also get people that come into the office that are like, all right, I'm eating well, I'm eating the right things. You know, what is there anything that I can do? And yeah, that's where we have things like prebiotic or probiotic supplements. Prebiotics feed the good microbiome, the good microbes. Probiotics are the actual bacteria themselves. People always ask, what's the difference between prebiotics and probiotics? Prebiotics is food. Probiotics is the actual bug itself, right? And so, you know, figuring out what you need, that's where a functional medicine practitioner can come in very handy, and that can help steer you in the right direction. Because, you know, like we said, not all supplements are created equal. Not all of them are the same. There are a bunch of different kinds. There are different strains of bacteria in these things. So you want to know and dig down in there, like, how does your garden grow? That's really what we want to know. Like, what's going on in there? How's your gut bacteria? What's out of balance? What needs to be replaced? Right? So we'll dive into this. We've got to take another break. We'll dive into this and talk a little bit more about these bacteria in your gut. And then we're going to talk about some things not to consume, things that are bad for you, regardless of your microbiome status, right? You're listening to Wellness One. If you're just tuning in, we have been talking all show about your gut, your microbiome. We've gone off on rants about food. We've ranted about baby food and, I mean, the misrepresentation of the food based on, you know, the names of things. It's just been very frustrating. But
right. And so far we've talked about, you know, things to feed your microbiome, like food high in fiber, you know, fermented or cultured foods, and we talk some about pre and probiotics.
Yeah, and so, you know, when we're dealing with gut health, one of the things that we want to do and we have to pay very close attention to is if your gut's dysfunctional, we first have to figure out what's going on, what's wrong, and then find out what we need to take out. We've got to remove the bad stuff, whatever's going on. We've got to get rid of that. And then we've got to heal and seal that gut. And there are different ways to go about healing and sealing that gut. There's no just set thing. Everybody's a little bit different. Everyone's needs are a little bit different, but we've got to heal and seal that gut. And then we've got to repopulate that gut. We've got to put the good bacteria back in. We've got to give it the food that it needs to grow and flourish. And we've got to, you know, we may use things like probiotics and, you know, there are different, like I said before, there are different types of probiotics out there. They have different strains in them. We may use them for different things. There's just a whole host of things that need to be, you know, going on there. But in general, when we're trying to, you know, help our good gut microbes grow and take care of things, you know, coconut food and foods from coconut, things like medium train triglyceride is a great supplement to help feed the gut bacteria. What it does is it helps decrease inflammation going on in the gut, and it helps to get rid of bad bugs while feeding the good stuff. It's really kind of cool how it works. You know, if you're not ready for it and you take MCT oil, it can cause an upset stomach, yes, in some individuals. So we have to be very careful. It can cause things like diarrhea and, you know, lots of stomach gurgling and pain and stuff. So, you know, again, if you're one of these individuals, you've heard that an MCT oil can be very beneficial and you've tried it and it did not work for you, you weren't ready yet. You were trying to go too far, too fast, too soon. However it was, you stepped over a few things that needed to be done first. And so, again, working with a good functional medicine practitioner that understands all of this stuff and how these things work together is extremely important, right? Another one out there that helps is glucomannan. It's a fiber from a root. It helps bulk up food. It really helps with constipation. There are a lot of people that can't tolerate glucomannan. It can create bloating and just be straight up uncomfortable for a lot of individuals. So again, if this happens to you, figure out what's going on, fix it, because if your gut is healthy and functioning, it should not create an issue,
right,
for
and
you.
If you are okay with it, it really helps with weight control. And we know that, it's one of the reasons why people, you know, gravitate towards glucomannan. Isn't glucomannan in, like, there's like a noodle? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It is. I'm pretty sure. Like, it comes in a bag and it looks really gross. It's like already a wet noodle. And it's like in a plastic. I wish I knew what it was.
Maybe
like magic
so.
Noodle or something.
I think you're right. I think it is something like that. You've asked me about that before, and I remember
one time looking at it and being like, "This is glucomannan." That's like what it is,
right?
And so some people swear by it, and They're like, "This stuff is amazing." And there are other people who are like, "This is the worst product I've ever had."
When you cook it, it's kind of like tofu. It takes on the flavor of what,
yes,
you're cooking with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is magic noodle or something like
something
that.
Something like
Someone
that.
Someone will correct us if we're wrong.
Right. But it comes in a plastic bag in liquid. And so it's like, they're like already looking like wet noodles. It looks gross. But yeah. I mean, if it works for you, then
more power
great.
To it.
Yep.
So switching gears a little bit. So what do you not feed your microbiome, right? Simple stuff. We all know this stuff. Don't eat processed packaged foods, right? Don't eat refined grains, especially wheat. It's terrible for you. Sugars, things like high fructose corn syrup, terrible. Refined oils, awful. Antibiotics, except when absolutely necessary.
Yes, when absolutely necessary, antibiotics are wonderful.
Right.
Other than that, way too many of us, and we hear this all the time, people saying, you know, the way to tell a good doctor is if, you know, well, he actually gives me antibiotics when I need it. It's like if a doctor, you know, kind of takes a step back and says, I'm not sure you're ready for it. A lot of people look at it like, what a horrible doctor,
right?
Which is so, I mean, I, you know, we talk so much about conventional medicine. I also get that a lot of conventional medicine doctors are in a tough boat, you know, I mean, and we'll do antibiotics in our office, but there it's specific circumstances.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. So then there are other things that can damage our microbiome that you may not even be thinking of. Things like, you know, we talked about antibiotics, but there's antibacterial soap that destroys the bacteria on our body, right? Alcohol sanitizers, things like Purell, destroy the microbes on our gut. Some other things that can really mess things up that we can take: anti-inflammatories, ibuprofen, Advil, aspirin. You know, acid blockers really disrupt it. That's a big one that, you know, I don't think a lot of people really pay a lot of attention to. Right? They're just taking it, and that's just, you know, well, I've been on it for 30 years or 40 years. That's just one of those things. Refined oils are another one. You know, we've got to pay attention to the soybean oils and the corn oils and canola oils that we're consuming. They're everywhere, right? So that's, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that can affect from that standpoint. And then, you know, lastly are things like sleep and exercise, right? And stress levels. All of these things can really alter our gut and our microbiome. I mean, we got to make sure that we're getting enough sleep, 7 to 8 hours. If you're not getting 7 to 8 hours, you are just depriving your body of what it needs to heal and repair. Things like belly breathing, meditation, yoga, all of these things are great for decreasing stress levels. And that stress causes a gut imbalance.
Right.
We know that it does.
So many studies have now shown that stress has a direct impact on our microbiome. And I think that that's sort of intuitive. I think when you hear it, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, how many people, when you're stressed out, can, you know, start having stomach issues?
Sure.
So it's very clear in that, or, you know, or whatever else happening to your body physically, you know, you have physical symptoms. A lot of times that starts, you know, in your gut. And I think that we know that, but it's something to always keep, you know, at the forefront of your mind, because it is, you know, just another reason to keep stress in check.
Right. And it's funny. So we have some questionnaires that we'll give people, and they will report to us before we have them fill out the questionnaire. No, I don't have a lot of stress in my life. And then when they fill out the questionnaire, their stress level's actually off the chart. And they're like, literally just the other day, I had a person in the office that said, you know, I guess I didn't realize that I was as stressed as I am, because the results of the questionnaire were just like, oh my gosh, you are beyond stressed. And she verbally said, I don't feel that stressed. I don't feel that level of, you know, stress that you're talking about. And there's so much stress that's internal that it's just crazy what happens to us and what we perceive as stress and what's actually stressing our body. Two completely different things. But I digress. And that's about all the time that we have for today's show. I want to thank everyone for listening. If you want more information, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We post stuff up there all the time. You can call our office, 314-293-8123. You know, shoot us an email. We like to hear from you. We do our best to get back to you as quickly as we possibly can. But yeah, that's about all the time we've got for the day. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness One. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.